Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today we are talking about music festivals in Illinois, old and new. Later in the program, we'll look back at the first Farm Aid, which happened 35 years ago this week. But first, since 2005, Pygmalion Fest in Champaign-Urbana has drawn some of the biggest indie music acts from around the country to central Illinois. Artists ranging from Yola Tango to Janelle Monáe have made appearances at Pygmalion over the years. But for the first time, the festival will be all virtual because, of course, of the pandemic. The good news is you don't have to be in Champaign-Urbana to catch the shows, and they're completely free. Joining us now to tell us more about this year's lineup, which includes NPR's own Ari Shapiro, is Seth Fine. He's the founder of Pygmalion. The event kicks off virtually tomorrow. Seth, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks, Brian.
And listeners, if you want to join the conversation, if you have a question about Pygmalion or a favorite memory from a past Pygmalion, give us a call, 800-222-9455. The number again, 800-222-9455. Of course, you can also always tweet us at 21st Show. So, Seth, the festival has always been in person. Obviously, like so much else, that had to change this year because of the pandemic. What was that like, having everything go virtual, making that decision?
Well, at first it was pretty painful. But we were reminded that it's not like we did this to ourselves, you know, sitting in a big boat with everyone else. And one of the reasons why it was painful is that we've always really tried to emphasize the live experience. You know, it's not like streaming technology is new or this is some sort of radical diversion from what was available. This has all been available for years, for a decade even, you know, and I think that there's a lot of value in the virtual space and streaming events, but we were always resistant to it because we really believed in the event as a piece of Champaign-Urbana that was unique to Champaign-Urbana, and it was what we wanted to present. And so when we were faced with the decision of not doing anything versus doing something, initially we were like, well, this isn't our bag. But then things started to change when we realized that our sponsorship base, which is really 95% Champaign-Urbana organizations, businesses, the municipalities to a certain extent, wanted us to do it. They really wanted us to roll up our sleeves and get to work. And that was inspiring for us. So initially it was painful, but then it was like pretty inspiring.
So normally the festival is kind of in the style of South by Southwest, where people can go from venue to venue around town, see bands in person. But now I gather anyone with a computer can go from virtual space to virtual space.
Yeah, one of the things that really jostled something inside of my aging brain is that I was talking to my friend in Tokyo. We went to Yankee Ridge Elementary School together. He's an unbelievable architect, and his firm is based in Tokyo. And I was speaking with him early on during the pandemic, and he made mention that he'd be excited to be able to actually go this year. And it dawned on me that, oh yeah, like you can attend. And so this year, yeah, you just need your, you know, iPhone or, you know, your laptop. And there is something fairly gratifying about that, being able to connect with friends old and new from around the world and say, hey, you know, sign on, you can see what we're doing.
In the introduction to this segment, we talked a bit about the music, but there are other kinds of performers that typically come to Pygmalion, right?
Yeah. You know, this year we're not doing any live streaming music at all. We made a decision early on. Patrick Singer, who's my partner at Pygmalion, and I really just believed that it was not going to be to our benefit or to our audience's benefit to try to present live streaming concerts. And we wanted to kind of radically change the way that we were programming. So while music is at the center of what Pygmalion's history is, you know, we thought that this year, given the circumstances, we would really emphasize and focus on the idea of conversation, topical discussions that are relevant to the moment, to relevant to the people that we're presenting. And so, you know, this year we are, you know, blessed with a lot of musicians that are joining us, but they're going to be discussing things about their careers and about the space that they inhabit as opposed to playing music.
Interesting. So since let's get to some of the people who will be making appearances. So since this is an NPR station, I think we have to mention to our listeners that Ari Shapiro, who's a journalist and one of the hosts of All Things Considered, the NPR Evening News magazine, will actually be hosting a salon as part of this year's Pygmalion programming. Can you tell us what is that going to be like?
So it's I mean, I don't think it's that dissimilar from what he does with All Things Considered. It's a series of interviews with really compelling and engaging artists and creators from around the country. And so, you know, we're presenting in partnership with the University of Illinois Fab Lab, an inventor and creator, Simone Geertz. There's an author, Ahmed Barir. There are the cast and creators of the Saturday Night Seder. And, you know, Ari in particular has been extraordinarily available and excited to work with us. You know, the good news about being in our position, having done this for 15 years, is that we have a lot of great relationships with agents that we're not just colleagues with, but that we're friends with. And Ari's speaking agent and I have, you know, been friends for 15 years. And when presented with this idea that we were coming up with, he thought that Ari would be really interested in it, and he was. And so we were able to get him on board, and almost immediately he was really participant about wanting to curate whatever this show, this salon, was going to be. So a couple of the guests are who Pygmalion brought to the table, and Simone Geertz and Tawny Newsom, and the others came from Ari's side. And he wanted to invite them, and they all accepted. I mean, I think when Ari Shapiro asked you to talk about your life, usually you say yes.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Seth Fine, who's founder of the festival Pygmalion in Champaign-Urbana. This is the first year the festival will be all virtual, so you don't have to actually be in Champaign-Urbana to attend. Kicks off tomorrow. Another big name who's part of the lineup this year is Alana Glazer. She's best known for her Comedy Central show Broad City, which she wrote with her real-life best friend, Abby Jacobson. And the actor now has a live show called The Generator Series that aims to humanize public policy using social media. One of the goals of the series is also to highlight some of the lesser-known races around the country, right, to get people engaged in politics at all levels?
That's right. And again, another one of those situations where Alana's agent and I mean, we go back further than my career as a promoter. Our bands played together in Tucson, Arizona back in 2001, and we've just been friends forever. And same thing when I discussed with him what we were trying to do, he was like, well, Alana has this generator thing, and she and her team were really excited about it. And we're really excited about, you know, diving into both our local political arena in the state. And so her guests tomorrow night are going to be Chandra Bishop, who is running for a kind of corner, and Marie Newman, who's running for the 3rd Congressional District. And so, yeah, that's the type of stuff, the type of content that we really wanted to push out this year, because it's new and it's unique. I mean, there's never been a discussion between Alana Glazer and Chandra Bishop or Marie Newman. And so that's something that you can't just find by Google searching it. This is something that will be unique to the moment.
Yeah, I'll be curious to hear. We interviewed Marie Newman on our show, and I'm sure it was probably a different approach than Alana Glazer is going to take. We actually have some tape of Alana Glazer speaking last year at one of these events in New York City. They were talking about a lesser known public office called the Public Advocate. Let's listen to that.
There's only 3-6% voter turnout in New York City for the Public Advocate race. That's mortifying. That's embarrassing. That's so low. And this is a position, it's set up to potentially succeed. You know, it's set up that it such that it could be important. So there's 22 people on the ballot. What is this? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what is this race? We have 7 guests total between tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight you'll meet 3 of them. This is not like, I'm not like, win us over. debate for us. You know what I mean? I'm just like, again, what is the position? Like, I need like some basics, and I just wanted all of us to get the chance to just meet some of the stars of the race. So we will, I got to admit to you, I don't know when the election is. We'll ask them. We'll ask them.
So that was actor and comedy writer Alana Glazer speaking last January about a special election in New York City for the relatively unknown position of public advocate during her Generator Collective series. So, Seth, you mentioned Marie Newman and a coroner candidate. How did you settle on coroner as the race you wanted to talk about here in Illinois? I mean, I think Marie Newman's running for Congress. That's a pretty safely Democratic seat. But why coroner?
Well, honestly, it was Alana's team that decided on it. We were... and we're always this way with our artists. We want to provide as much agency to our invited guests and artists as we possibly can. I mean, we obviously have an agreement inside of our contract that everything is mutually agreeable, but we wanted for Alana and her team to develop what they wanted to discuss. And I think that they found Chandra Bishop very compelling, given where we are in the country and the type of election that we're facing at this moment. And we all find at Pygmalion Chandra Bishop to be a rising star. We think that she's unbelievably intelligent and is going to bring a lot of potential to that particular position in our county. And so it was a simple, absolutely, you know. And so from there, we kind of give it to their team. You know, we're presenters, you know, we're the programmers, we're presenters, and then we just clear the space to let them do their work. That's one of the important aspects that you grow into as a programmer, is that the more you try to meddle with what they're doing and micromanage what they're trying to present, the less authentic it is. So you always try your best, unless you see red flags, you stand clear and let them know to proceed.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that this year you didn't want to just do a live stream of artists or recorded performances. You do have one performer, though, Sudan Archives, which is the stage name of violinist, singer, songwriter Brittany Parks. People might be familiar with her song Confessions, which came out in 2019. Let's take a listen to a segment of that.
I fell down and started back up and sailed and failed. I'm too unique to nail. I washed away my fears and trust in my own ears. My own regret revealed. There is a place that I call home, but it's not where I am welcome. And if I saw all the angels, why is my presence so painful?
That was Sudan Archives, the stage name of violinist, singer-songwriter Brittany Parks. I got to say also, if you've not checked it out, her Tiny Desk concert at NPR actually had a string quartet and a really, really standout episode in that series. So, Seth, what do you have? Can you tell us what can people expect from Sudan Archives at Pygmalion?
So she's an anomaly inside of Pygmalion this year, and that you do have an opportunity to see a small mini concert by her, but you got to play the escape room game to find it. And that was something that we felt was going to be a very interesting and exciting element to Pygmalion this year. I mean, we're huge fans of what Anne and Chris Lupin do at CU Adventures of Time and Space. And we approached them about building a virtual escape room pretty early on, and we were fortunate enough that they agreed to it. So we wanted to make that a relatively interesting experience, as interesting as we can make it inside the virtual space. So again, approached Sudan Archives agent and Ali Hedrick, who is one of the best in the business, you know, suggested that Brittany would be a perfect candidate for that. And so we presented her management with an offer to participate as a participant inside of the escape room. And then we also have her discussing her worst show ever, which is a series that my friend Adam Voith brought to us and thought would be a really fun way to unpack some of our favorite musicians, actors, authors, experiences doing something live. And so Brittany will be appearing twice inside of the escape room, where if you're thoughtful enough, you can see her perform a quick 60-second concert. And then also she'll be in discussion with other musicians and authors discussing one of the worst shows she's ever played. And so that's the type of stuff that we felt would meet the moment, and that would give our audience just a different sort of approach to what it means to attend a festival event. I mean, I think that this
And I'm afraid we need to leave it there. And we will have more about Pygmalion at our website, 21stshow.org. We'll be talking with Andrew T. from Is That Racist? Podcast. They're also doing a segment at Pygmalion after the break. Seth Fine, founder of Pygmalion, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.